Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He joins us each and every week. Former Texans wide receiver joining us on the Byers Barricades hotline on a draft week Tuesday. David Anderson joining us on the show. All right, DA, all the former players we've had on in the last couple weeks have talked about the window in which their representation told them, hey, we could see you going as early as this, or we could see you going as late as this, or going undrafted. What was the window where you were beginning to expect to possibly hear phone calls during draft weekend in 2006?
I was astonished that they picked Mario over me. Still am.
That you were drafted at all?
No, that they picked Mario over me.
Oh.
I thought I was going to go one.
I didn't understand what you said. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of humility right there.
I thought I was the best player in college football. I don't know why anyone else didn't see it. But you know what? Time prevailed.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think anyone knows this part of my story. I flew to New York. I was there with some friends during the first day of the draft. I knew I wasn't going to be drafted, but I actually went to the draft. So I was in the stands like a normal fan in the during the first day of the draft when, like, you know, Mario and all those guys were taking the stage. I was actually out in the stands.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
A normal dude blending in.
So did
was it like at the theater at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. No,
Radio City.
Radio City, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and back then the draft was Saturday, Sunday. It wasn't the primetime affair that it is now. So it was Saturday, Sunday. What, I'm curious, this is really curious now, DA, what was your reason for doing that?
I don't know. My friends wanted to go. We had a delicious steak dinner planned, and we were walking by, and they're like, are you going to get drafted? You're not going to get drafted today, are you? And I was like, no, because this gets into what your first question was. I knew I was going to be a first day guy, and second day started fourth round. I knew I was probably more likely going to be a fourth rounder. We had a steak dinner set at the Palm, and so cash only, like, it was amazing. Anyway, so I was like, let's go in. So there was like a bunch of seats still left at the top. So we went in, we hung out, we saw like the first like 12 picks, and then it gets really boring. And then we went and had a steak dinner, and I jumped on a flight, flew back to Colorado, and my brother met me out there, and I spent all the whole second day watching. It was terrible. Well, you know, they told me I was going to be a second day guy, expect between the fourth or fifth, maybe sixth round, and I ended up being a seventh round pick.
And did you expect to hear from the Texans? Were they a team that was interested in you during the process?
When I finished my 40, at the combine, Coach Kubiak was at the end of the 40 and whistled me over and said, hey, if you're around late in the draft, we're going to take you. And I didn't remember that during the draft. I totally forgot about that until literally the Texans called me. And I was like, oh, yeah, Coach Kubiak said he was going to take me. I had no idea. I just remember Coach Marchiano calling me and be like, you ready to place your special teams? You ready to run down there and hit some guy in the head? I'm like, what on earth is this guy talking about?
He was
you
a Popeye.
You can return punch, right? You get out there, you're tough, you can run around. I'm like, what? Yeah, sure. Whatever. I'm going to replace Andre. Get out of the way.
You're right. You're like, hey, bro, I had like 100 catches last year, all right?
He was awesome. Was he still coaching somewhere, like, special teams last year?
Yeah, I think he was in Detroit last year. Yeah. He was sweating right through his pants.
No doubt about it.
God, he's a sweaty mess everywhere he went.
So being a seventh-round pick and sticking around for 6 years, you won. I mean, you got over. You beat the average, certainly, of guys selected at that point in the draft. If I were to ask you, what's the biggest reason you were able to carve out a half dozen years after having to wait till the seventh round and the excruciating experience that was for you, what would you say?
I quickly learned, and you know what? I've actually had a conversation about this with a guy that I got linked up with out here at USC. He was asking me some similar questions. And I said, no one tells you this, but when you're growing up, you admire certain players, right? So, like, you know, I admired Terrell Owens. I admired Steve Smith. I admired who else did I really like that played? I think Steve Smith was probably my favorite. Terrell Owens was obviously amazing to watch. And a couple other guys. And then you go to college, and you still admire some of those guys, but you start to realize, like, okay, maybe I don't admire Terrell Owens as much, but I still like Steve Smith. And, oh, there's like this, you know, there's another guy that plays in the NFL, blah, blah. Okay, I like him too. And then you get to the NFL, and you realize, like, oh, like, you can admire them, but you can't really model your game after them because they already exist. Like, you have to be a new player. You have to do what you do really well even better. And you can't – you can start picking up tidbits of other people's game to add to yours, but you can't try to play like them because you'll never be able to play like them because they are already there. You know what I mean? There's old adage, just be yourself because everybody else is already taken. You learn that, but you got to learn that pretty quickly in the NFL. It's like, I can't run around and do Terrell Owens moves in the NFL. Only Terrell Owens can do Terrell Owens moves in the NFL. Like, I could do that in high school when I was, like, you know, bigger than everyone and can muscle people around, but not certainly not in the NFL. So you have to quickly learn what you do really, really well, and hopefully that helps you make a football team. Sometimes guys don't have the right fit on a team, and what they do really well isn't something that that offense or that defense values, and you move on and hopefully get another shot somewhere else. But luckily for me, Kyle Shanahan was coming in, and he's having more and more influence on the offense. Not the first year for sure with Troy Calhoun and the Air Force offensive coordinator. Garbage. but Kyle's having more of an influence and wanted a third receiver, wanted a slot guy that was, you know, natural in that position, and that's where I fit. So I was lucky in that sense. And then looking back at it, you always get mad because you're like, well, as a third receiver, why did I not know that I should be going to a top 10 quarterback? Like, bottom 10 quarterbacks don't use three receivers on first down. There's just not enough law of averages. You're not gonna get any footballs thrown your way. So I think I answered your question with that, but yeah, it's and mix in a lot of luck. You can't get injured.
Yeah. No doubt.
What was so bad about the Air Force offense, DA?
Okay, so I love Kyle Shanahan. To this day, I'll always stick up for him because I ran a route, I think it was against the Denver Broncos in preseason. It was supposed to be like a 14-yard curl, and I ran it. I made the guy miss off the line, and I ran it at like 11. And then I was wide open and safe shooting the ball. I completed it, make the guy miss, and went for like 22 yards. And Troy Calhoun wanted to MF, and he didn't MF anyone, but he wanted to yell at me that I didn't get my depth. And right as I was about to say something, Kyle Shanahan goes, "Coach, you've never played receiver before. He's open. Like, that's all you want is someone who's open. Ask Sage, would you rather be covered at 14 yards or wide open at 11? Like, as long as the timing is okay, the route is fine. The route is actually great." And I was like, "Oh, thank you, Kyle." And he stuck up for me, and I was like, "Oh, that really helped me kind of, like, I think give me confidence in that, like, there's wiggle room within routes. Like, right, you have to be at certain depths, at certain speeds and stuff like that." But and that's how I knew Kyle was going to like me and on the inside playing slot, because a lot of times they just told you, "Hey, this is a five-step drop. You have to get at least 7 yards, but you can't go more than 10. And that's like my cup of tea. I was like, "Oh, I could do that."
Yeah, cool. Because I would imagine something like that, if Kyle wasn't there to kind of take up for you, that as a young player, as a rookie, and you're doing that, and you actually have a productive play, and you're told you're doing it wrong, I would imagine, like, early on in the NFL, you just assume maybe everybody knows more than you do, especially people coaching you, that would have left kind of a little bit of doubt now when you're out there doing your thing, right?
100%, and it takes, if it's not a coach, hopefully it's a veteran that takes you under their wing and says, "Hey, that's a great job. Don't listen to them." It might be even the respect of your opponent saying good route or something like that. Like, it's, you're right. If nothing is said by anyone, you can quickly fall apart. But now, if you're a first round draft pick, you could run the ball I could have ran it 7 yards and dropped it, and they'd be like, "That's great. You know, we're really building your confidence. You're going to be great." But I was a seventh round pick, so, like, you don't get any love. You don't get any attaboys. They just beat you like a, you know, rented mule.
David Anderson visiting with us here on the Triple Threat. DA, if you're on the Arizona Cardinals roster in 2019 as a wide receiver, Do you want them to draft Kyler Murray or keep Josh Rosen?
I wish they would tell somebody. And Sean asked me if I have any bets. I have a Josh Rosen bet out with some friends. Couldn't find a bookie to take this bet. But the I remember when Schaub was brought in, right? Like, it was clear we weren't going with David Carr, and we brought in Schaub. And so we were out there all offseason. We could build that camaraderie, and we kind of knew what to expect. The majority of teams that are drafting a quarterback 1, 2, or 3 kind of know that's going to happen, right? The Browns last year knew they were going to take a quarterback. The Bills last year pretty much knew they were going to take a quarterback. Like, as you're a receiver, like, you're building camaraderie, but you're more or less running routes just to catch balls. You're not worried about, like, is this going to be our leader? Because you know the odds are it's probably not. You need that leader. And if they're going to draft a new leader, they should have alerted people in the locker room, or at least alerted their current leaders. But it doesn't sound like they did. It sounds like they're keeping it pretty hush-hush. And maybe there's some good old strategy around that. They're trying to put together a trade. But if I'm Arizona, who am I taking? I think I stick with Josh Rosen. To be honest, I think I stick with Josh Rosen. But who am I? I think I would trade out, get something really good for Kyler Murray. I don't see that. But I was wrong about Baker Mayfield. I just don't see Kyler Murray having a big career.
If he doesn't go to Arizona, because it feels like a big reason why Arizona is being discussed, the biggest reason, is because of their head coach and the system that he plays, that it would be very Kyler-friendly. But if they pass on him and keep Rosen, I mean, could this be one of those story-of-the-draft kind of slides that we see from Kyler Murray? Or do you think there's enough buzz about him where either someone would take him with their pick or someone would move up to try to take him?
When is the last time that has happened, where it's like you're a number one or you end up to like a 12? Was Aaron Rodgers never thought of as a number one?
Yeah, he was actually. He? Yeah, because remember that story that came out a couple weeks ago said he was holding it against Mike McCarthy for years, that McCarthy was the OC in San Francisco that decided to take Alex Smith instead of him. Aaron Rodgers is the poster boy for that, because it was thought he could go number one and he slid all the way to 24. I think Brady Quinn
was like a top. Yeah, he was like a top five guy. I remind Brady of that every time I see him.
I'm sure he loves that.
True friend.
If Leinart would have went the year before, he would have been picked ahead of Alex Smith.
Yep. And correct. Leinart may have been the number 11. One pick, and then he went 10th to the Cardinals the next year. Yeah, but what do you think could happen with Kyler Murray?
Here's the question. Do you take more NFL wins, Kyler Murray or David Carr? Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. You mean like when all is said and done, that kind of thing?
All is said and done. Who's going to have more NFL wins, Kyler Murray or Derek Carr?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to say Kyler Murray because I just don't think highly of Derek Carr. I think he's going to get jettisoned in Oakland at some point.
Okay. Haskins or Byron Leftwich?
Oh, man.
I don't know how many Byron Leftwich wound up with, but he was a bust.
Byron wasn't a terrible bust. He was Jacksonville for a couple good years.
Yeah, he did. I'll say Leftwich because I'm not wild about Haskins.
See, either am I.
Yeah.
Either am I. I think it's really lucky. I was on the opposite end of the spectrum, is that I'm not actually sure, but the first receiver taken my year was Santonio Moss. And that was with the Steelers at like 24. And then Chad Jackson was at like 29. We thought receivers were going to get taken at like 9, 10, and 12, which meant the fourth best receiver would be picked up by the Steelers. And maybe the fifth would go to the Patriots. Well, now if only two receivers are taken in the first round, everyone gets pushed back around.
Yeah.
Right? So now everyone is affected. Whereas like if Kyler Murray doesn't go, that not only that affects him, that affects like the Duke quarterback, that kid from Missouri.
Yep.
Like, are you going to take Haskins over Kyler Murray? All those people get pushed back. It's kind of interesting.
Even though he's a very specific type of quarterback, Kyler Murray, it feels like he's different than all these other guys. Like he's got to be your cup of tea if you're going to take him stylistically.
Because so the XFL has new rules. And I think there's going to be more, like he seems like a guy that could really benefit from like a dual position where he could like, you could play quarterback sometime, but also receiver and stuff like that.
Sell popcorn
like,
at halftime.
Like a true, he's a true, you know what? I'm sure people have said this about him his whole career, too small to play high school football and he dominated, too small to play college and he dominated. NFL is a different game, but like the guy is special. He's made plays at all level. That's all that really matters in the end. Do you win? And the same guys that he faced on SEC and Big 12 fields and dominated are the same guys that are going to get drafted in the NFL. So if he did it then, there's no reason to say he can't do it now. But it's not. It's certainly not going to be as easy as turning the corner as he did in college.
So, D.A., weigh in on this Clowney conversation we were just having, because until he signs his franchise tag tender or they come to an agreement on a long-term deal, this is going to be a part of the conversation. And the latest, if you hadn't heard, is that Frank Clark today was traded to the Chiefs. He agreed to a deal almost identical to DeMarcus Lawrence, guaranteed money somewhere in the mid to low 60s. Of course, at the top of the scale are Mack and Donald with guaranteed money somewhere around 85 or 90 million. On the David Anderson scale, where does Jadeveon Clowney fit among all that guaranteed money?
Probably around Frank. Frank, I mean, he's up there. The thing about contracts a lot of times is there's clauses in there that you can sneak in that really kind of can that can ease some of the tension between the two parties, right? If like you're worried about Clowney's ability to stay healthy, then you can build that into the contract, and he should respect that like, hey, you play this amount of games, not only will I pay you the going rate, I'll pay you over the going rate. But if I'm willing to pay you over the going rate for you playing all the games, then you have to give me a deal on if you don't play all the games. And I think guys are becoming a little more okay with that in building some of those things in the deal, as long as there's some guaranteed money that they can that they're absolutely going to get, right? Before, the guaranteed money was a lot harder to get. What they would do is backload your contract. So you look like you sign a 5-year, you know, $100 million deal, and 45 of it is in your fifth year that you'll never reach. Now instead, they're moving that stuff around. I think football is right for doing this guaranteed money the way that they're doing it. So, but yeah, he's a top NFL defender, and when he's healthy. So can they build something like that into his contract? I think that'd be powerful. But sounds like they're not close to even a deal.
No, it's a big time staring contest, and he's the only guy left who is franchised who either hasn't signed the tender or hasn't been involved in a trade or signed a long term deal. Like, he's the one who's just still kind of sitting out there floating. And last thing, D.A., we've got about a minute, but my theory is that now that J.J. Watt is back to near peak J.J. Watt, still has 3 years left on his deal, including this coming season, could it be that Clowney and Watt are chasing the same pile of money? In other words, the Texans may not want to commit, because J.J. could get another contract extension here because he's J.J. Watt and he's a great player again. Could it be that the Texans don't want to commit big money to two guys on the defensive line?
I'm interested to see what type of players in my opinion, in the NFL, it's all about paying the players at the right time, but not only that, getting them on the right side of the payroll conversation, right? Like, when all of your best players are disagreeing with how they're being paid, and you saw this in Seattle, after they had their Super Bowl run, basically Richard Sherman wanted to get paid. He was fighting. I think it was like Bruce Irving wanted to get paid. He was fighting it. Then Thomas wanted to get paid. He was fighting it. And then Marshawn Lynch wanted to get more money. He was fighting it. There's a couple other guys that they let go. They couldn't get a couple offensive linemen signed. Like, everyone was disagreeing with the way they were getting paid and whatnot. If you look at the – and I hate to recite the Patriots, but their number one player has a very team-friendly contract.
Yeah.
What you would like to say is, okay, you get them both in the room. Hey, J.J. Clowney, you guys are arguing over the same room, same money. J.J., how can I – what do you want to do? How can I move money? Maybe do you want to be here 5 more years? Okay, I'm going to guarantee you your 4th and 5th year so I can pay him now, because I think we have a 4-year window to win a championship or something like that, right? Guys want to win, and they'll move running money around to help you, but you got to treat them right and have them part of the conversation early so that they're willing to do that. You know, if you're always at, you know, against each other in these negotiations, you're never going to get far, because eventually you're going to run out of, you're right, you're going to run out of money to give and run out of players to advance. You're going to be paying bad players bad money.
It's David Anderson, former Texans wide receiver. DA, enjoy the draft. We'll catch up with you soon.
If anyone wants to take Rosen to the Giants for 14-1, you hit me up on Twitter.
What is it? At David Anderson 89, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think peer-to-peer gambling is legal, right?
I think
I'm not
it
sure
is.
If I announce it on radio, but maybe.
I think because you're in a state that borders Nevada, it's totally legal.
After all, we're lawyers.
One, yeah. DA, we'll catch up with you soon, man.
Later.
See ya.
Thanks, man.
David Anderson, he's the best.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.